bacon taste good. Pork chops taste good.
So appropriate. So spot on. Mr. Scotch. Bacon does taste good. Pork chops do taste good. So does the delectable flavor of your friendly Red Scare radio show. Welcome. Teddy boy, it's in effect. Dennis Scotch, I assume, is on the ones and twos. Coming at you one more again. Thank you so much for joining us. We took a bit of a fuck it. We're not going anywhere. It lasted this long. A little bump of the road is going to slow us down.
I mean, 1 week off is nothing compared to the couple years we took. So, I mean, we always come back. We're like a herpy. You know, you never get rid of us. We may go away for a little bit, but there we are when you least expect
Surprise.
It.
Surprise. Here we Surprise. Are.
Surprise. Explain this to your loved one.
What's going on, Scotch? How are you?
I am fucking excited. It is Cinco de Cinco, right after May the 4th. Be with you. I mean, it's just an exciting week all around of just poorly used sayings and fucking celebrations galore. People that fucking hate nerds, but then come May 4th, fuck everybody's May the 4th be with you. May the 4th be with you.
Yeah, we fill ourselves up with a bunch of dog shit that means nothing from the mind of an asshole that ruined a franchise that everybody once loved. And I'm talking about Star Wars. I actually was at a buddy's house last night, and he had that episode 2 on, which I think our drop comes from, the sand drop comes from. And
I don't like sand. It's coarse and rough and irritating, and it gets everywhere.
And I thought, Jesus Christ, nobody gives a shit about that. It's like, why is this a thing? I'm so happy I did basically nothing yesterday, so I avoided hearing, may the 4th be with you, my, whatever they call it, my brother, my friend, my Padawan. What do you call it? What's the, I don't know.
I don't even know, because like I always respond from my Christian upbringing, and I can't fucking help it. But when somebody says, may the 4th be with you, and I go, and also with you, you know, it's just that whole
God bless
thing.
You, my son. I do that
peace,
little
peace be with you. And also you with
stick
you.
Up those two fingers, put them sideways and do a little cross.
Testicle, spectacles, wallet and watch, baby.
Yeah. May God be with you, my son. That's all I could say to that. I couldn't care less. And then another meaningless holiday, the Cinco de Mayo. I saw that, I think it was like in Politico or CNET somewhere, that 10% of Americans actually know what Cinco de Mayo is. And that makes me feel good. At least I know what the fuck is going on. But you know what? It doesn't even matter. It's an excuse for white people to get a taco, have a margarita.
Wear a sombrero.
Oh my God. It's like, I know, because I'm going to go out later today. I know I'm going to see some fucking broski just fresh off of his college spring break, wearing a poncho and a goddamn sombrero with a fake Pancho Villa mustache. Be like, yeah, bro.
It's gonna
I'm gonna
be
say,
fucking everywhere, dude. Everywhere.
Yep, there we go. But what's more important is what's going on in LA right now, which is probably biggest comedy festival that I've ever heard of or seen or even been a part of, which is this Netflix is a joke presented by Dave Chappelle. fucking insane. There's like 1,000 shows going on from last week to this week. And Dave Chappelle headlined the Hollywood Bowl the last several nights. I had tickets to all three nights, sold them, black market, scalper.
Did you? Were you not at the one where he was attacked?
No, I had tickets. I had actually really good front row seats to that, and I sold them because I knew what they were going for.
Damn. But you could have been a fucking hero. Could have been a hero, Ted.
Well, I'll tell you this. What I did know, and I won't say where this is, but there used to be a special night on Mondays. It's used to be a free night at a very famous comedy club out here. And I used to go all the time because it was only a 2-drink minimum. Now they started charging $5, but I knew that this festival was going on. This is renowned for having drop-ins. I've seen Dice Clay drop in. I've seen you name it. They'll drop in. Neil Brennan has done drop-ins, and you know, all these people that are pretty popular right now. Seen them all. What the fuck is that guy's name? Dana Gould, you know, these guys. But I had a feeling Monday night was going to be a special night, so I bought a bunch of tickets with some buddies of mine. Or I bought tickets and I invited some buddies of mine, and we went. And the first hour or so, it's like it's open mic night. It's like the worst of the worst. You sign up.
That's the best.
No, it's the best if somebody's actually funny. Like if you could get one act that's like, oh, that was good.
Oh, see, am I the only one that laughs at uncomfortable silence and fucking awkward shitty jokes?
I love bombing. I love awkward silences. I like when a joke doesn't land and I'm sitting there and the crowd doesn't know how to react. I love the uncomfortableness of the crowd. I don't love bad comedy, you know? So
sure.
I think it's funny when a comedian looks like a deer in the headlights because they don't know how to react to not getting a reaction. I mean, it's the best because we all know what's going on, but nobody really wants to say or do anything about it. And so that I find to be funny. I don't, you know, it's not a laugh out loud situation, but it's like a, you know, I'm the only one. What am I doing? Mike, what's going on?
You're going to keep talking for a second.
Oh, you want me to stretch it? So the first hour is goddamn brutal. And then they bring up what's called the friends and family, people that work there, people that are semi-regulars, and then the paid regulars who graduated from being just an open mic dipshit, people that have actually cut their teeth and could get a laugh. And we saw some people that are highlighted on Jeff Ross's roast battle. That was nice. But I walk out to go smoke a cigarette and go to the bathroom. And I notice in the hall, it's like a fucking red carpet. It was crazy. So the host of the evening, she comes up, she says, "Well, this is the way it's going to be tonight. Everybody just got bumped. And up to the stage next is dun da da dun." Take a guess of who the first person they brought up was. Excuse
Dana me. Dana Carvey.
Better. As far as like the cachet of like who's in the pantheon of some who's been talked about as in the pantheon of the greatest comedians of all time.
Eddie Murphy.
They bring to the stage, not that good, but close for most people. Not for me. Chris Rock comes on the stage.
No.
And I think
that's awesome.
Shit. I am not a huge Chris Rock comedy fan. I'm a huge Chris Rock fan. I just think like he is a little over the top with his kind of like Sambo act, but
for sure.
That whole grumpy or scratchy voice thing.
Yeah.
And I thought, fucking hell, this is the first time he's going to get on a mic and he's just going to do a Will Smith thing because he got his face smacked in front of millions and millions of people, but did not mention Will Smith once, which I thought was great because it seemed like he's working on an act, and he was fucking fantastic. He wasn't doing that. He was just talking, making jokes, working out his new routines, and he was fucking fantastic. And then he looks to the back. He's like, all right, who am I bringing up next? Is it my girlfriend or my boyfriend? And they said, it's a girl. And he's like, okay, well, let's bring up Leslie Jones. And Leslie Jones, the first time I saw her was at this open mic on a Monday years and years ago before she got onto Saturday Night Live. And the first time I saw her, I thought, holy fuck, we've got to get the hell out of here. It's going to go south and she's going to attack people. She's scary. She's big. She's intimidating and she's loud. And, but she killed. She was fucking amazing. And then a lot of people don't like or even know who this guy is, but then she brings up Jimmy Carr, who I think.
Oh, he's fine. He's the British guy, right?
He's the British guy. And I think pound for pound, he tells some of the, he is so conceptually funny. But the problem is with this crowd, they didn't know who he was, it seemed like. So they were a little lukewarm with the response. But he fucking killed. I thought he was, I mean, here's the thing. This thing is supposed to go from 7, maybe midnight, sometimes 1. But these guys were doing 15, 20-minute sets each. Chris Rock was up there for 30 minutes. Leslie Jones did 20 minutes. Jimmy Carr did a half hour.
Let me ask you, is Leslie Jones funny on stage? Because you know where I stand with female comedians. Like, it's very hard for me to really enjoy.
She was getting laughs. So I guess people think she's funny. I'm a tough crowd. It's not my brand, but you know what? People loved it. She killed. People were rolling over in their seats.
That's all that matters, right?
Halfway through the set, I went out for another bathroom break, came back. And as she was getting off, she says, well, here's another. She's like, it's just going to keep on going. All right, ladies and gentlemen, the moment you've all been waiting for. Dave Chappelle. Dave Chappelle gets on the fucking stage. And the motherfucker, goddamn, he is so fucking good. Oh my God. It's, you know.
I've heard GOAT thrown around with his name, you know?
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing about that. This is the only thing that bothered me about the set. He noticed that somebody was walking in the back and he's like, who's that big N word walking around or the guy with the locks? He was like, who, me? The guy that worked there. And it was a guy and he was like, what's your name? What's your name, young man? And he says, my name is Anya Malik. And he was like, oh, Anya. Oh, you know, you're 1K off from stardom. And the guy without skipping a beat says, oh, that's a good one, Dave Chappelle. Never heard that one. Killer. And walks away. And everybody laughed. They were like, oh. So actually half the people laughed and half were like, oh, my God. You just like backtalked Dave Chappelle.
You just roasted him.
And Dave Chappelle like basically did about 10 minutes on just that scenario of him getting bitch slapped by this unknown guy, or at least unknown to him, this Anya Malik, and it fucking destroyed. And oh my God, it was just fucking fantastic. And then he did an hour. Dave Chappelle up there for an hour. I have tickets for the following night at the Hollywood Bowl, which I paid a crazy amount for and then sold for even double that. But I mean, I was like, I got my money's worth. This is it. This is the greatest lineup anybody's ever going to see. I already sold two sets of tickets for the previous week. I'm like, I'm seeing him now. I'm not going tomorrow. So when he got off and just fucking destroyed, he brings up Jeff Ross and Dave Attell. And I'm just like, Jesus Christ, they got up there like 11:30. It was late. 11:30 they got up.
I'm glad to see Dave Attell is doing stuff again. I liked him. Jeff Ross, I mean, to me, Jeff Ross is like the modern day Don Rickles.
Exactly.
You know, it doesn't give a fuck.
Dave Attell is a little bit grumpier, a little more grumpy.
More sits more there in black the corner. Style.
A little darker. Yeah. But Jesus Christ, what surprised me though? Oh, the reason I brought up that Anya Malik guy is the only problem that I had with Dave Chappelle is he was like, oh my God, you just took a shot at the GOAT. Like he referred to himself as the GOAT, which I thought, you don't do that.
That's the thing is, if it's living, because to me, there's GOATs that are past, right? So there's obviously going to be new comedians that come along and maybe take the GOAT name. But Eddie Murphy is still alive. And I've heard people refer to Eddie Murphy as the GOAT.
He's the greatest of all time.
Right. But even though he hasn't done stand-up in a while, there's still
nobody better. As far as specials go, Delirious and Raw are the two standalone greatest specials that's ever been produced, I think. In my opinion.
Plus his movies in the 80s, not his fucking Meet Dave and all the shit after he had kids and he tried to tone it down. I mean, you and I both know. Life, Beverly Hills Cop, fucking 48 Hours. I mean, all these shit that he did in the 80s, late 80s, early 90s. That shit was fire, as the youth would say. Fire.
It was fire. But do you, I'm guessing that you're factoring in those movies into him being the greatest stand-up, but I don't think I agree with.
Well, I think it ties in for me as far as.
Like bodies of work?
No, I laugh just as hard at his roles in certain movies as I did when I watched his stand-up. So that to me. For me personally, I thought he was the greatest. You know,
I mean, we're Chappelle, both coming to Chappelle, the same conclusion.
Yeah, Chappelle, I mean, I didn't even know who he was until fucking whatever. What half, the fuck was that movie? Baked? Half Baked.
Really?
And then he was in Undercover Brother, which I thought was fucking hilarious. But after that, I can't point to another thing he did.
Really?
I mean, there's the Chappelle Show, of course, but.
Well, he was a great stand-up. I remember seeing him on, because I was a huge Def Comedy Jam fan, the Russell Simmons Def Comedy Jam. And so he went on there early and destroyed. That was when Martin Lawrence was hosting. And back then, I thought Martin Lawrence was the funniest motherfucker there was. But times have changed.
Oh, come on. That Martin show, that was good.
Well, the show was fine. I watched every episode of that show, but I actually tried to watch it recently and I can't even look at it.
Of his shit's the same now. Like when you look at him, it's the same.
It's the
just like reaction. Just like in Bad Boys, and you know what I mean? It's how he, like I said, I will go back to Life. That was the last funny thing I saw him do. Probably the only
Eddie Murphy, really.
Or Eddie Murphy. It's funny too because of that, you know, like
Martin Lawrence's stand up, the album that he put out, the Talking Shit album, was fucking great. I listened to that as a kid over and over again. I thought it was one of the best comedy albums I ever heard, because most of the time you listen to a comedy album, it's hard to go back and, like, you know, laugh at these same jokes that you just heard.
Sam Kinison is the only one for me that I can go back and do that. A little bit of Dice and, like, you know, the old or even Eddie Murphy, but it's like Adam Sandler, right? When I was younger and those albums came out, like that shit was fucking hilarious to me. I was stoned. That shit was funny. Now it's like, I look back on it and it's, oh, these are, why don't you play with your cock and balls? Like, that was funny back then. Now it's like, dude, this is stupid. So that is hard to chew that down a second time, to eat that leftover, if you will.
Right. Well, that was it. I just thought I'd brag about seeing probably the greatest lineup ever assembled
in now, one night. Now, was that before or city. After the attack?
That was the night before.
Oh, so you could have, if who knows what that dude was going to do when he went up on stage, but that could have been the last time you ever saw Chappelle.
Could have been it.
That could have been it.
Could have been it. It was crazy.
So that makes, I think in my mind, that makes that night even more special.
But I got it. And then I don't understand how a person, especially at the Hollywood Bowl, could get on stage. I mean, I only saw that little clip that people are slow-moing, and that he kind of like Chappelle sidesteps, but the guy had a knife in the shape of a gun. It's like, how the
fuck? And you can't even carry a gun in California. This is craziness.
Shit. It didn't stop these assholes.
Didn't stop that homeboy in your doctor's office, did it?
Oh my God, you remember that? What a fucker.
He was about to.
What a fuck. Every time I go to physical therapy, I look in the corner. It's like, son of a bitch waiting for me.
Oh, you scared now.
Yeah, I was scared. Man. I got scared. I want to get shot in a doctor's office. The worst place. I mean, if you're going to get shot, do it at Cedar Sinai. I mean, that's the place.
That's the place. That's where all the heroes go.
Yeah, they're called Hebrews.
Oh, all those Hebrews go. Yeah, I'm fucking dealing with this inflation shit and it's driving me crazy. I don't know. I'm sure it's bad out there too for you, but this is my inner Judaism, my inner Jew coming out, you know, tied to you and my wife and just really seeing this.
Don't equate your problems with money with Judaism.
I am, because I never had money until I never had money until I married a Jew. So
you stepped in a temple.
So I stepped in a temple, L'chaim. as we discussed on our previous show, the price of milk fucking is something that I can understand maybe taking out a president for. But.
And we've established that you like a glass of milk.
That was done. So my wife goes to the store and, you know, we buy stuff like every other normal family. But. This 18 pack of eggs, and this is, and I only use the eggs because it just fucking pisses me off. The same 18 pack of eggs that used to be $6.99 at Walmart in a matter of 2 weeks is now $14.99.
What the fuck? That's crazy. First of all,
crazy to me.
$6.99 for an 18 pack is too high in the first place. Don't like it.
I was okay with it. I was okay with it. I mean, we ain't talking brown organic. You know, these are just Walmart. Well,
see, that's the thing. You're paying too much in the first place. That's the problem. You were too happy and you didn't put up a fuss with the $6.99. They figured if we're going to get them at $6.99, we're going to get them at $14.75.
No, bullshit. You start off with a finger, go to the knuckle. You don't go straight full fist into the ass. You got to warm a mother... fucker up to that. You start with hit me with some $8.99 over time.
Here's where you might be mistaken, Scotch. If I'm
only here.
Going to insert my fist in your asshole, and I know once I put my finger on the button, you don't go, whoa, that's a green light. Now, if I know that I want to go from fingernail to wrist, I'm shoving the motherfucker in. I'm not warming you up because I know once I get second knuckle deep, you're going to be like, okay, let's slow it down here.
You don't.
And I'm on a mission.
This is why you never get a second date.
All I need is once. Memory lasts forever. Okay.
Why are you gay?
West Hollywood, in effect.
West Hollywood, in effect.
So I'm saying, I think you might be mistaken. If they're gonna deep fuck you to the tune of $14.99, they're not gonna go incrementally. They're gonna say, look, we're gonna slap him in the face, stun him, Little Mac style, and see if he gathers himself and ponies up.
Yeah,
none of this slow burn shit. It's what's going on with the gas prices.
Just lay that cock hammer down, right?
Yes. You know what? You're gonna stop eating eggs? No. No, I know you. You're not gonna
stop. No, I might go eggs. To some tofu eggs.
This man likes fucking breakfast. You know what you're gonna do though, which might be a little more cost effective. You're gonna go out because restaurants are not going to price gouge like the supermarkets are. It's easier to raise a price at a supermarket. It's fucking difficult to reprint a whole menu at Denny's.
That costs money.
That costs more money than raising the price of eggs to fit their costs. So what you might want to do is just go get a moon over my hammy or whatever the fuck you eat.
Nope. I'm just going to go back to meth. I think that's cheaper in the long run. I'll cut out all food. Fucking, I'll buy Ensures so I can get my daily vitamins. I'll have that for lunch. You lose the weight, fuck the system, whatever. They got dental implants now. Don't even care about the teeth.
Yeah, get yourself some veneers. It's like 18 pack of eggs, veneers. Easy choice.
Simple, rustic. But, you know, it's killing everybody out here. It's everybody is fucking getting hit in the pocket and it just sucks. Like, why where is this coming from? Why you know, the eggs are here in my state, why are we being, you know, it was like I always just have this argument about gas in California. How is it cheaper in the Midwest than it is in California when there's all kinds of refineries and shit's getting refined in California but yet getting shipped out? You know
the demand is higher out here, they could charge more.
Everybody needs to go back to horses. This is it. You know, back in the old days, Teddy, everybody had a horse and you were rich if you had a car. Now, everybody has a car and you're rich if you have a horse. Shit's gone flipped.
That's interesting, man. We never thought about it like that.
You know, flipped script again.
I thought you were going to say Tesla. I didn't think you were going to go back to horse. Just blew my mind.
Tesla, I mean, that's another thing. He's saving Twitter. I mean, there's all kinds of shit going on. I was going to ask you about it. I like the fact that Elon bought Twitter. I don't even use Twitter.
Really, I don't have Twitter.
But I think it's interesting that just to be a baller like that, like, hey, you know, I don't like this... I don't like the way this platform runs. A couple homies, some investment. How about I just buy it and make it work the way I mean, that to me was capitalism at its finest. This guy made his money, has his money, however he gets his money, either fucking SpaceX, Teslas, whatever. Instead of bitching about, oh, you know, it's not fair they do this, not fair. Fuck it. I own it now. I'm just going to buy it.
Rules.
Change up the rules. You don't like it, you buy it.
Yeah, buy it back. I just dropped $44 billion. You want to buy it for 60? Go ahead.
I'll sell it.
I do find it concerning that he's doing it under the guise of freedom. You know, when these rich billionaires start making moves and they they're doing it in the name of democracy and freedom and free speech. I go, shit's about to hit the fan.
What do you think his underlying motivation is? Just out of curiosity,
gaining more market share, capitalism, being able to do whatever you want to make even more money for yourself. I think that, you know, a lot of these guys, it's what Reagan did in the 80s. You're saying like, it's that the huge dupe that still has ripple effects to these days, where it's like, you know, the Republican talking points are still like less government, but when the shit hit the fan, it was the government that was bailing everybody out. It's less regulations. Well, that's less regulations, so corporations could gouge you even more. And those are Republican talking points that nobody gives a shit about. And now all of a sudden, I'm sorry that I'm going off down this tangent. I want to bring it back to an actual fucking comedy show, but you got me going, Scotch. I'm sorry.
No. I think this is important, like, because like for me, the free speech, you know, the biggest thing that he said he was going to do that I like just because I'm a fucking nerd is that he was taking it out of the private, you know, the of building and making it open source, which means that anybody can work on it and attribute to it. And that's the part that I liked, like opening it up to the public. I think it's cool. There's a lot of great software that is open source that has input from everywhere and that makes it free for people to use. I think that's cool. And I will tail it back to turn it back to comedy. The fact was, is that no, we're not going to shit. We're not going to sell it. You know, I don't want to do this. And he goes, he unzips his fucking pleated pants and puts his balls on the table and says, I'm buying this for $46 million. And even though they tried to do all this shit, guess what happened? They ended up selling it for $46 billion.
The initial offer I thought was like $53 billion or $54 billion. All of a sudden, he's just saved himself $10 billion. Like, how the fuck did that happen? They had this strategy.
This poison pill.
To sell it to stockholders for half the price just so they could gain more shares. And all of a sudden,
stockholders were like, nah.
How the fuck did that happen? Well, you know what? That's
why he's rich. You know, he's making those type of deals. Oh, you want to sell it for 56? I'll give you, I don't know, 46 and maybe a car.
Yeah. Why don't you deplete the stock by half and start selling it off? And that'll really work for your favor, idiots. Motherfucking idiots.
Just making doing it.
Yeah, but then he's going to take it private. Now it's just going to be a private. Now that he's got this majority, he could take it back private and he could do whatever he wants with it. Under the guise of freedom. What else is going on, Scotch?
I'm just waiting for this fucking Amber Heard, Johnny Depp trial to end. And it's just the best shit in the world that comes out of it, you know?
You're cutting into my trial time right now. I got to tell you, I am fucking bleak this shit. I'm an hour behind the live stream right now, and I just fucking can't get enough.
Oh, just dropping deuces on beds. What was the another one? Johnny
today,
called me a miserable, angry fucking something cunt. I'm like,
well. It's a she. They showed text messages yesterday of him sending like a really nice message, like, God damn, you're the best. I fucking love you, you cunt. Something to that effect. So it seems like their love language is a little bit off of center, as one would say. And now she revealed today.
And we're fucking back.
What, do you have to fart or something? Like,
you know, sometimes we live in a world.
Just let it blow. You don't have to pause. No, I'm not your lady.
Well, you are. You're my sweet lady.
Well, I take it back.
No, in a world of technology, we're just providing fucking job security for those in the technical support industry. Look, I can't control when internet goes out. You can't control when internet goes out. There's no warning. Hey, Everything's about to go to shit right now.
What you're saying is we're just keeping IT employed. We don't do this because we made a mistake. We do this because we have to.
Absolutely. You think if I had to go to the restroom, I'd pause the show? No, you guys are going with me. We're a family here. Just like when I shit with my kids here. Doors open. It's open conversation. I have an open door policy in this business. So here we are. Back. Second time again.
It's funny where the rules are when it comes to going to the bathroom. I was going to Amber Heard, but you just made me think, like,
we know where her rules are.
Yeah. Oh, it's time to change the sheets. Okay. Give me a moment. Grab a paper. My lady and I will kick open the door, but only if you're sitting. If you're in the process of wiping, there is no chance that that door is getting flung open. So we have, like, sure, sometimes we ran out of TP. We keep it up high over the door in this little ledge. She'll be like, you know, hand me a roll. I'll go in, hand her a roll. Then she's like, get the fuck out of here. That's okay. Nothing wrong with that. But if either of us are in the process of wiping, which is, for me, a sacred act, it's almost like a force field. It's Fort Knox as far as the bathroom door is concerned. There's no getting in there. We both know, and we've never actually spoken about this, that it is a no-go when the wipe is happening.
That's cute. You guys don't have kids. Me and my wife, we know during the wipe. I mean, there's no communicado during that time. If you're sitting, it's fucking fair game. I mean,
oh, okay. So this is not just me. This is a thing.
Well, it's just known. I mean, like, we don't try to talk to each other. You know, we're in the bathroom. The kids will try. Yeah, because kids just follow you everywhere. They have no fucking couth. But as far as, like, before you wipe, obviously it's you know, because you've been wiping for years, you can look at a roll and be like, this ain't going to cut it. This is not going to, what's left on there is not going to cut it.
I know that before I sit down.
But there are those emergency times when you sit down because it's go time. You know, coffee's hitting a little harder right now. And you sit down and you realize, oh, some motherfucker in here did not do the due diligence and replace the toilet paper. Now we're calling people.
They're giving you like one square that last little like dotted piece that's clinging onto the cardboard.
You think you're getting four? You know, if you pull that,
it looks like a Monster Energy logo. Just like it's like stripped.
It's just tore apart. Yeah, you're like, this is not good. But immediately, like,
in our bathroom, my nose of that.
No, in our bathroom, we have a drawer on the vanity. That's the bottom one. Keep extra rolls in there. So if you're sitting down, you can just lightly reach over, open the drawer, grab your replacement. It's when the roll hasn't been replaced on the roll holder, you go to that drawer, and then that's not been refilled.
See, that can't happen. You got to set some ground rules. You got to drop the hammer because that cannot happen. One, here's the thing, Scotch. We always have at least one, should be two rolls, sometimes three if we're feeling generous, right under the sink. So you could just reach your hand in, grab the spare. And then the reserve is up top. And then when the reserve is out, we go to the closet in the hallway. We're stocked up. My lady knows. She's a provider. She gets that shit. But the thing is, I always have a contingency. And this is me and me alone. I use wipes, wet wipes, always. And what I have
is cool aloe feel.
Well, here's the thing. My lady, she bought me this this like caddy that warms up the wipes. So I take the wipes out of their original packaging, put them in to my wipe warmer, and I am good to go at all times. And I know it's on me to replenish it. So when I get like, I could feel sometimes they don't come out, so you got to dig your finger in, kind of scratch up a little bit of a lip so you can pull it back out. You know what I mean?
Oh, I do. I'm just still, I'm lost over here in fucking outer space over the warmer.
A wipe warmer. Got it. No cold. No cold on this bum.
That is crazy to me. Like, you don't like that cool feeling of it just being cold? You need to be warmed like a bottle of milk? That's crazy to me.
I did it. It's one of those things, like, when I met this sweet, sweet woman, I had a flip phone, and I thought, I don't need a smartphone. I make phone calls. I could text. I could press the S button 4 times to get to the T. I'm fine with that. I don't text that much either. I make phone calls. Don't need a smartphone. Finally, it's embarrassing. Dipshit has a flip phone. We go to the AT&T. Get myself a smartphone, and now I think, how did I ever live without this? I'm glued to the fucking thing. I can't live without it. Same thing with this wipe warmer. I didn't know what I didn't know. I was a babe in the woods. All of a sudden, you got a nice warm wipe. It's not like this refreshing, I'm not missing like a refreshing like little goosing every couple of swipes. And here's the thing. Sometimes you have an emergency in the middle of the night where your asshole says, "Yoo-hoo, big boy, it's time. Hello."
It's the whole in the middle of the night. It's a little knock at the back door.
Oh, Teddy boy, you're not going to do it in the bed. And you're not, trust me, this is not a dream.
You ain't Amber Heard in this.
Yeah. Get your ass up and go to the bathroom. And that's the thing. Middle of the night, you don't want a cold thing. You don't want anything I don't even want to open both eyes. I keep one eye kind of like ajar just to see where I'm going. And then get in there, warm wipe it, get back to bed.
Let me, I have a question just based off my own personal assumption of what I'm thinking. Do you wear pajamas to bed?
I'm wearing you're looking at my pajamas. I wear a shirt. I wear boxers. That's pajamas.
And leggings too, huh?
Well, these are my, when I get up, I don't like walking around just in my boxers. I get a little chilly. So I put socks on and I put,
sweatpants. Maybe this is just a climate thing because I'm thinking I live in Arizona. As most people can tell by any picture they've seen of me, I am not, a thin person. So, you know, there's regions that get hot and just anytime a cool wet wipe, I mean, that just feels fucking good. I don't care if it's 2 o'clock in the morning here in the Arizona summertime, you wake up and you have to go, that cool wipe is like, oh, it's just refreshing. Now I can go back to bed. It's refreshing.
You might be right about that. I've only had this since, I think it was a Christmas gift. So I've only had it during the cold period. This fucking motherfucker, just leave the fucking box, get out of here.
You're mad at, you have a box in your living room and a cat is trying to fuck with it and
the mailman's banging on my goddamn gate. Get this goddamn fucking motherfucker. Maybe I'll don't
have to, hey, you should just tell him, hey, look, we're trying to do a show here, Jack.
He doesn't care.
This is our federal money at the time.
Yeah, so we'll see when the weather my license plate scan, great. When the weather starts warming up, we'll see.
You don't want no fucking warm shit on your nether regions when it's hot, you know. But look, dude, I'm the type of dude who sleeps in just boxers and wears boxers throughout my house all day, unless I need to get on a video call. Then I throw on a t-shirt and fucking, you know, smudge the hair over, do my video call. Then I take the shirt off.
I'm with you. I'm with you. But I have two different wardrobes for two different seasons. It's either hot or it's fucking chilly for me. And in my apartment, for some reason, the way we're positioned, even in the summer, it stays cool during the day and then it gets warm at night for whatever reason.
You get the setting sun, huh?
Yeah, it's interesting. So once the weather starts warming up, which we're in the transitional period, which is when it's about to.
Oh then shit! We're here, brother. It was 99 yesterday, 100 degrees. We're here.
Oh yeah. Then it'll be tank tops and shorts. But until then, I got long sleeves. Now you're actually witnessing the transition. Normally it'd be a sweatshirt. Now I just got like a little baseball tee on.
See, I've already moved over to my thin boxers. You know, I have cotton boxers for the summertime, and then I move over to those thin kind of old school grandpa boxers for summer. Just a little lighter, little breezier.
I'm ecstatic right now. I just got my new license plates and my registration tags for my new ride. Fucking great. I fucking love this.
Is it personalized with like two knuck too deep? Something like that?
It says Scotch's button. I hope you're okay with that. I didn't run by you first. It's a Scotch's sweet button.
You should have went with Da Scare. D-A Scare. That way you could just be a rolling advertisement.
Oh, shit. I'm sorry, I just got distracted. I don't know what the fuck is going on here. Johnny, you beautiful, beautiful man.
Retard alert!
We got anything else going, Scotch?
Nope, that's a wrap for the show. Catch us at redscareshow.com/fucking say hello. Patreon.com/theredscare. You know, all the places that you would normally find mediocre podcasts, you'll find us there. As always, it's been a pleasure seeing my face on this video, sharing these exhilarating times with you, Ted. It gets better every day. Every day.
It's been real.
Bears.
Bears.
Bears. Definitely bears.